1 Kings chapter number 11, please. We'll read the first few verses of the scripture and continue with the idea and thoughts that the Lord laid upon our heart beginning this morning in the service. As I mentioned this morning, chapter 11 is a very sad commentary that I believe I can say that God never intended to happen or be recorded. God intended, no doubt, for Solomon to start well, continue well, and finish well. As I believe it is His will for all of us to do the same. Start well, continue well, and finish well. And I believe that God enable you to do so. I believe God's grace will be sufficient. No matter what comes in your life, I don't believe God ever intends for it to make you a quitter. I don't believe that God ever allows anything to come in your life that is intended to make you fall. I don't believe that. I believe, as Brother Klepper mentioned, that if there's any darkness in our life, it comes with a matter of choice. And I know that even in my house, every light in my house is hooked to a switch. And every one of those switches has an off and an on. And it's either on or off based on what I want. And I believe that light in our lives spiritually, well, it has an on and off switch, and you can turn it on or off. And darkness is always hooked to a decision. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, but King Solomon. I note the word but starting out, a word of contrast, actually contrasting the first 10 chapters of 1 Kings that shows Solomon on the rise. But then he's doing the will of God. He's given great wisdom, and he's a man of prayer. He's a man of accomplishments. He's a man of testimony. He's a man of respect. He has done great things. And for God and for God's people. But then when we come to verse 1 of chapter 11, but King Solomon. That word but is a contrast showing that now what is about to be said is going to be in right the opposite of what has already been said. Amen. Am I on here? Turn me on, Brother James. Yeah, I'm on. There we go. Help us, Lord. Because I'm going to be moving around, I hope. All right. When you come to the word but, it's saying there's a change coming. But King Solomon loved. And that shows me that the change that's now fixing to be recorded, the change that is now fixing to be described, it's all based on Solomon's responsibility. The whole negative slant of chapter 11 is because of Solomon. And it says, but King Solomon loved many strange women. That is strange to true worship. They were strange to purity and morality and godliness and holiness. They were strange to that. And he fell in love with those people, those women. Oh, I want to tell you, you better watch out who you fall in love with. Better watch out who you develop some affection for. It don't matter how they live. You develop affection for them, you're in a trap. Amen. It's better to deal with knowledge than it is emotions. I've never said that in 30 years of preaching. I don't reckon. It's better to deal with knowledge, that is, know what's right, know what's wrong, and make a decision on that. Well, I can't like them, I can't fall in love with them. They're not marriage material. They're not marriage quality. And deal with what's right and what's wrong, amen? But if you fall in love, then it's really probably not going to matter to you what's right and wrong. All you're going to think about, well, is I love him. I've had young people tell me, when I tell them, you know, this and that, about the situations. But I love him, preacher. But I love her. That's no qualification. There's a lot stood at the marriage altar and said, but I love you. And in a few days or a few weeks or a few months or even a few years, that quickly changed. You better have the will of God on your side. Amen? Amen. Some of you married people should have said amen right there. But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of Moab, the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said. Now this is talking about, that, there's our proof text. Make your decision based on knowledge and not emotion. No matter how you feel. No matter how much you, it don't matter what you feel. Okay? It don't matter. That is not in the picture. What does God say?
Amen.
It don't matter about that. Oh yeah. Are you going to go off of verse 1? Solomon loved. Or are you going to go off of verse 2? The Lord said. Are you listening? I never seen that till just now. You better listen. You're going to make a choice. Are you going to go off of emotion and feelings and affection? Or are you going to go off of what God said? Are you going to let what God said be in the driver's seat? I want to ask you something here tonight, adults and young people. How important and how much weight does what God say carry in your life? How important is it to you for what God said about a matter and about a subject and about an issue? Amen. If the devil can get you, and we'll deal with it tonight, if the devil can get you making light of God's word, he can fill your life with immorality. He can fill your life with sin if he can get you making light of the scripture. Solomon knew what God said. And he ignored it. Listen to this. Well, I got to hurry. My goodness. Man, that's good. And of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall you come. They come in unto you. For surely, boy, you're to mark that. You're to mark that strong word, surely. Surely does away with options. Surely is a definite. It's not probable. It's not likely. It's definite. God said, here's going to be the result when you don't listen to me, when you won't let me have say so in your life. And by the way, that is a true characteristic of a person that's saved. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. You belong to him, and he has right of say-so in your life and in mine. I mean, who am I to tell God no about a matter? I belong to him. And, amen. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. And I got in parentheses this next statement. I mean, this stuck out to me. Solomon clave unto these in love. You can look at that. It's twofold, and actually they're both inseparable. He clave unto these, referring to the women. But he just got through talking about the gods that those women served and worshiped. And now Solomon said he clave unto these, referring to the gods. In love. But like I said, they're inseparable. You know why he loved the gods? He loved the women. Amen? If you love the person, you're going to love what they worship. You're going to be interested in what they're interested in. You fall in love and have affection for someone, you're going to be interested in what their interests are, and what their desires are, and their direction is. Man, that's good preaching already. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, and that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil. Why? I mean, listen. You read the first 10 chapters, you can't get a hold of that statement right there. Solomon, the son of David, who built the greatest temples known to man, Solomon's temple, prayed the prayer of dedication over it, and the fire came down and the glory came down to the point that people couldn't even stand to minister. The priests couldn't even minister, and the people bowed themselves to the ground and worshiped and praised God. Here's a man, the Bible says, did evil in the sight of the Lord. I can't get a hold of that, but I know it's there. It's truth. Now watch this right here. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab. He has went from building the temple for God. Now he's building houses of worship for these false gods. Why? To please his wives. Mercy. Watch this. Then did Solomon build in the high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem. We pointed out this morning that was, even Ryrie's got a note of that, that it's speaking of the Mount of Olives. And that's the mountain Jesus left out of here from. And that's the mountain Jesus is coming back to. And here we find Solomon putting a wicked shrine on top of that mountain for a wicked god. And for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. We know the Moabites and the Ammonites are the offspring of Lot's incestuous relationship with his daughters. And they were cast out. They were rejects. They were to have no part in the work of in the people, among the people of God, the inheritance. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burn incense and sacrificed unto their gods. In other words, Solomon became a compromiser. Solomon came to the place where it didn't matter which wife worshiped which god. I'll accommodate you. I'll build you a shrine. I'll build you a church. And that's what a compromiser is. He's not one of standard and conviction. A compromiser is like a chameleon lizard. Just kind of blend in with whatever surface and surrounding that it's near. And then we'll pick up in verse 9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart turned away from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. We'll stop reading there. We'll be looking at these verses a little bit later on if the Lord will help us. But I'm dealing with the fact that in verse 2, the Bible says, for surely they will turn away your heart. Verse 3, his wives turned away his heart. Verse 4, his wives turned away his heart after other gods. Verse 4, his heart was not perfect toward the Lord his God. Verse 9, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel. A lot of talk about his heart being turned. About his heart not being perfect. When you're talking about a perfect heart, it's not talking about a flawless heart. It's not talking about a sinless heart. It's talking about a whole heart. When you're talking about Solomon having a perfect heart toward the Lord, which it did say about him earlier in these earlier chapters of 1 Kings, my friend, that said that his heart was given to the Lord. He was a wholehearted servant of the Lord. I believe one of the greatest destructive things that could ever come in a church is half-heartedness. I believe that could be the worst thing that could ever plague RBT is for half-heartedness. Preaching half-hearted, teaching half-hearted, singing in the choir half-hearted, singing specials half-hearted, coming to church and sitting on the pews and being involved in that regard half-hearted. I want to tell you, that's one of the worst things that could ever happen to this place. No doubt about it, friend. God deserves and desires wholeheartedness. Let's begin, and this morning, I'll not go back and re-preach it, but first of all, we talked about the danger of your heart being turned away. That's why I'm preaching on the heart, a heart turned away. There's a danger of it. That is, it doesn't matter if you're a Solomon. It doesn't matter if you're counted as the wisest man ever lived outside of Christ. It doesn't matter if you've built temples. It doesn't matter if you've made wise choices in the past, as did Solomon. It doesn't matter that if God ever give you one request, as He did in chapter 3 of Solomon, ask one thing and I'll grant it. Whatever you ask, I'll give it to you. I wonder how many of us, I'll put myself there, if we were told of God, ask one thing and I'll grant it, I wonder how many of us would ask a financial a request. I guarantee you there's people in this building would ask a financial request. God says, I'm going to give you one request. One request. Probably some would make it a material request. Bigger house, more cars, bigger this and more of that. Amen? But when Solomon was given the request, one request, and I will grant it, Solomon made a spiritual request. That I would have understanding to judge your people. That God, you'd give me wisdom to judge your people. And God was so honored by that, the fact that Solomon didn't request wealth, that he didn't request material gain, that he didn't request personal gain, popularity, and stuff like that. Instead, he requested that spiritual request. God honored that to the point that he gave him all these other things. Amen? But oh, in spite of that, there's a danger that you could come to in your life to where all of that good can be blackened by bad decisions, and as was with Solomon. Oh yes, it doesn't matter if you wrote 3 books of the Bible. It doesn't matter if you spoke 3,000 proverbs. It doesn't matter if you've been the one that wrote 1,005 songs. Doesn't matter. That is no guarantee for you to be spiritual in the years to come. We all, friend, could collapse tonight, if we let our flesh have its way. I remember preaching a message here one time, may have been a series, I don't know, but it's been on my heart here in the last few days. But I remember preaching on watching your weakness. Watching your weakness. You know where you fall? You fall in the area of your weaknesses. If you know, and it do you well to keep your eye on your weaknesses. I believe that's what Jesus was talking about the disciples when he said there in the garden, could you not watch and pray? And then he said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. As if to say the temptation is going to come through the weakness. Because he went on to say that truly the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Watch your weakness. Solomon fell not through his strength, he fell through his weakness. He could handle kingdoms. He could handle kingdoms. But he couldn't handle his flesh. He could deal with the thousands of servants, of maid servants and all kinds of servants. He could deal with that big and vast military that he had, but he couldn't handle his own passions. There's a danger. There's a danger and a risk. And a threat and a possibility and a potential for you and I to fall. Number 2, we talked about this morning, not only the danger of a heart turned away, but secondly, there is the direction of a heart turned away. The very term turned away implies direction. A direction from and a direction unto. To turn away means you turn your back on one. To turn away, turn your back on one, you're turning your face to another. And we'll deal with that a little more in detail later. Number 3, we want to pick up tonight. I want to talk about the disappointment or if you will, the displeasure of a heart turned away. I believe that it's indicated in the book of Ecclesiastes, which I believe Solomon wrote, and much of that where he talks about some 33 times, he uses the word vanity, which means emptiness. Someone illustrated what the word vanity is to where we could get a hold of it. He said it's like a soap bubble. Have you ever seen kids blow those bubbles? Whatever you call them, old bubbles? Bubbles? Hey, that's deep, ain't it? And you know what? Have you ever seen them try to catch them? I mean, there goes one. It's a floating. It's attractive. It's appealing. Oh, kids, they got to get their hands on it. And they go after it thinking, oh, that's one. That's the one I want right there. I've got to have that. Oh, look at it. Oh, if I could just get that. And about the time they touch it, they have nothing. Nothing but emptiness. All of that effort was in vain. All of that desire was in vain. Everything went as fast as it started. And I believe that Ecclesiastes was written at the end, toward the end of Solomon's life. And I believe much of Ecclesiastes was written to give commentary. Don't do as I've done. Don't give yourself to the wine, women, and song lifestyle. Don't go after that flesh living, because it's vanity and vexation of spirit. Notice the term vexation of spirit. It's not just vanity in that it's empty, but it's vexing. Solomon is saying that all of that, Brother Brian, is vexing. Showing the effect. In other words, Solomon was letting us know that through it all, this downfall and this ventures and this desires that he had, he showed, my friend, that it did not bring fulfillment. It brought vexation. It brought emptiness. Amen. 700 women, wives, 300 girlfriends, and still empty. I believe that that shows us, ladies and gentlemen, that fulfillment cannot come through the physical door. Fulfillment in heart and life and purpose cannot come through the sensual and through the sexual, the physical. My friend, it cannot come through the relational. You can know everybody. You can be friends with everybody and still be empty. Oh, he talked about vexation. But the displeasure that I'm wanting to look at for a moment is not the displeasure inside of Solomon. I believe that we can see in verse 9 that God was displeased. It records in verse 1 through 8 how that Solomon had done these many things in the area of women, in the area of worship. My friend, the love that belonged to God, he was giving it to false gods. And God made a statement in verse 9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon. That word anger, my friend, has the idea of being displeased. I know that don't mean much unless you're interested in pleasing God. Much of the preaching that I do, listen to me now. Much of the preaching that I do will be almost meaningless to you unless it's an interest of yours to please God. I believe that a desire in the heart of every child of God is to please God. And I believe that when we make choices, and we all have, my friend, to do whatever, my friend, that displeased God, and as a result of it displeasing God, we were not pleased. And usually you can tell if you're pleasing God is if God is pleasing you. If you're not pleased with God and you're looking elsewhere for pleasures and fulfillment and gratification, then that's a good indication you're not pleased with God, and nor are you pleasing God. I believe one of the greatest things that could ever be said about a human being was said about Enoch, that he had this testimony, that he pleased God. And he did so in the era before the flood. Listen, the Bible said that he walked with God 300 years. I'm going to make a statement here and I want you to listen. How many people do you know? How many people possibly sitting in this congregation tonight that claim to be saved and are not interested, not involved whatsoever in walking with God? I believe if we use Noah's example and Enoch's example, those two men both, God said, they pleased God. They pleased God. I want to tell you, though, and both of them, it was said they walked with God. They walked with God. You can't please God if you're not walking with God. No, I want to tell you, every child of God, listen, we can't never repay Him for the redemption He paid for our soul. We can't never repay Him. No, no, and He don't want to be repaid. Because He knows if we could repay, then we could have initially paid. God knows we couldn't initially pay, nor could we ever repay. But I'll tell you what we can do. We can give ourselves and say, Lord, we want to please You. We want to put a smile on Your face. We don't want You to look upon us with anger. We don't want You to look upon us with displeasure. We want You to be pleased. And I've made this simple statement so many times so simple. But it seems like people can't get it. Some people can't never get it. This world cannot please You. Oh, come on now. Lord's give me something here. This world can pleasure you, but the world can't please you. The world can give you the pleasure that is for a season. It's there and it's gone. The world can give you a feeling. The world can give you an emotion. The world can give you an attraction. But I'll tell you what, brother, the world can't give you that lasting peace. That'll be peace in the valley. Peace in the, like peace in the, on the mountain. Amen. Wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Peace, friend, when everything around you is dark, when everything's difficult, when everything's discouraging, you in on the inside, you've got peace like a river. Peace cannot be purchased. Peace cannot be put in a pill or a potion or a party. No pill. Listen, peace comes in a right relationship with God. As you live to please Him, He pleases you. Woo! Glory. But a heart turned away does not please God, but pleases. See, an effort to please self, and that's what a heart. Oh, Lord, help us. A heart turned away is not one given to pleasing God, but is one given to pleasing self. Doesn't matter what scriptural principles I have to violate. Doesn't matter what commandments I have to ignore. As long as I do what I want, when I want, how I want. And most people of this generation are self-geared. All they're interested is me and mine and my, I what I want. Amen. When's the last time, ladies and gentlemen, when's the last time that you were disturbed not over you not getting what you want? Come on now. Oh, come on now. When's the last time you got boogered up, fuzzed up over what you didn't get? But I wanted it. And then come on. And there's times we all do that. I want to ask you something. When's the last time we got boogered up over the fact God's not getting what He wants out of our life? And when there's a lack of submission, when there's a lack of surrender, when there's a lack of separation, we're basically reaching over into the hand of God, what belongs to Him. And my friend, we're taking it and saying, I'm going to use it for my purpose. Because the very term sanctification means to be set apart. for a divine purpose. Well, I've got to hurry. Help me, Lord. The disappointment or the displeasure, God is displeased with a heart that is turned away. Oh, I hope y'all understand this is not just preaching. Oh, I hope some of us get it. I hope we all get it. It's not just a heart turned away. It's not just one that's not pleasing God. But it's one that God is not able to please. Let me make this statement. I'm going to go on. I could preach a whole message on this. But let me give you this right here. I want you to hear me well. Not even God can please a carnal heart. Not even. You say, but God can create worlds. God can speak it into existence, and God can do anything and everything that He wants to do. But I want to tell you, He'll never cross your will, and He'll never bless sin. And God, not even God, could bless a people whose heart is turned away. Are you listening? I'm not going to deal with it because it take too long to deal with. God promised Solomon that He's going to rend the kingdom from his hands. But He went on to say, now listen to this. He went on to tell him that he wouldn't do it in his lifetime. Solomon didn't deserve to be king no more. And God said, I'm going to rend the kingdom from your hand. I'm going to take it away from you. I'm going to stir adversaries up against you. But He said, for David's sake, the covenant I've made with David, your daddy, Solomon, your daddy, David, I made a covenant with David. And because of David, I'm gonna wait till you are dead, and then your son, I'm gonna take the kingdom from his hand. Did y'all get that? Do y'all see that? Do you see that? Oh, I just saw it. Solomon's decisions and Solomon's choices put a judgment on the next generation. Do you see it? Solomon, you're the one that's wrong. You're the one, I'm paraphrasing, you're the one that's sinned. You're the one that's went, your heart's turned away. And here, I'm going to judge you. But it's going to be on your, it's going to be on your children. Can I say this, ladies and gentlemen? It pays to serve God. And can I say this? It pays not to, but you won't like the paycheck. The displeasure or the disappointment of. Number four, the decision of a heart turned away. The decision of the heart turned away. He was influenced, enticed, tempted. But the initial choice to be turn away was his choice. It was his decision. Are you listening? I mentioned it this morning in closing that Solomon didn't turn his heart away, but he allowed it. He allowed the people in his life to influence him and to turn away his heart. But I want to tell you, Solomon didn't turn it, but he allowed it. He permitted it. He gave the decision. Are you listening? I'm interested in that decision. I want to bog in on that right now just a minute. And I'm going to try to finish this right here. Lord, help us. I've got... Let me just try to hit the highlights here. Ain't no way I can preach it all out. Not in one service. Here's what's behind that decision of your heart being turned away. And let me say this. If your heart is not turned away, that also will be a decision. If it is turned away, that is a decision. So the choice is yours. And here's what I see lies behind Solomon's decision for his heart to be turned away. The first one was a displaced love. A displaced love. Verse 1, he loved many women. Verse number 2, the last part, Solomon clave unto these in love. You know when trouble comes and a heart's turned away? Is when love And love is no greater than its object. When love is displaced or misplaced. Here's the thing you ought to get. And boy, this is strong. When it said that Solomon clave unto these in love, you know what he was saying right there? And this is strong. The love that Solomon should have been giving to the Lord. And that the Lord was worthy of. And the Lord deserved. Solomon was taking that heart and that affection and giving it unto the false. Oh, mercy. How many people tonight? How many people do you know are taking the love that should be given to the true or in essence giving it to the false? Those gods, Miss Debbie, those gods he gave, was given his love to, was given his affection to, they didn't even exist. They've never answered a prayer. They never healed nobody, never saved a soul. They never done nothing for nobody. They were man-made. They were concocted of somebody's imagination. They weren't even real. And a lot, my friend, of what people are giving themselves to today is taking that which is true away from what is true and giving it to the false. Let me give you this quickly. A displaced love. You know basically what was Solomon's problem? Y'all ready for this deep statement? You know what his problem was? He just basically started loving what he wasn't supposed to love. He started loving what he wasn't supposed to love. I believe we could find some New Testament scripture to go with that. What about 1 John 2:15? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love not the world. What about James chapter 4? Know ye not, ye adulterers and adulteresses, that friendship with the world is enmity against God? If any therefore will be a friend of the world, he is an enemy of God. What about that now? Is that strong? That's pretty stout. So the first point, the first part of your decision of allowing your heart to be turned away from God is that first, there is a displaced love. Start loving the wrong things. And the wrong things are that which has been forbidden in Scripture. The Lord plainly told them in verse 2, and the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. It was clearly forbidden in the Scripture, but they loved it anyhow. You think about that. Brother Brooks, I dealt with a young lady one time. About some wickedness, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, my wife was there present. And it was at church, and I was dealing with her about sin in her life. I mean wickedness. Gross immorality. And you know what the person said to me? But I love it. I spent a good bit of time, Brother Darrell, talking to her, this individual about how wicked and about, you know, the Scriptures that was against that and all of that and just all that. You know what? But the response was, but I love it. You can't help anybody that loves sin. You can preach till you pass out, die of old age, my friend. You're not going to help somebody that loves sin. But I love it. But there's Scripture against it. Don't matter. I love it. But the Bible speaks out against it. Don't matter. I love it. I'm talking about a displaced love. When the heart is turned away, so was the habits. When the affection was turned away, so was the action. When the desires was turned away, so was the direction. whatever you love will lead your life. You will live for what you love. The ultimate need in the church today, ladies and gentlemen, is a renewed love for Jesus. Because what you love, you will live for. Amen. Hallelujah. Solomon allowed the sensual love for his wife to be stronger than the spiritual love for the Lord. Number two, not only a displaced love, but a disobedient love. As I've already stated tonight, clearly in the Scripture, it was clear that what Solomon was doing was forbidden of the Lord. But he disobeyed. He no longer was being directed by wisdom nor the Word of God. He was being directed by his feelings and his emotions and others. He walked contrary to the warnings that he had been given and that was recorded in the Scripture. In fact, many of the warnings he recorded himself in the book of Proverbs. Have you ever thought about how much Solomon spent in the book of Proverbs dealing with watch out for the strange woman, the wicked woman, the ungodly woman? And then he falls in the same trap. Amen. Talking about the disobedient. Here's a simple point I'm making on that. When you make light of God's Word, you're in trouble. When God says and you treat it lightly, you're in trouble. Are you listening? You're in trouble. Ignoring God's Word. Now, let me make this statement. I'm going to go on to number three. Solomon was not ignorant, but rather he ignored. There's a difference. Solomon wasn't ignorant of what God said. He just simply ignored it. No telling how much knowledge some of you young people's got here in this building tonight of what God's Word says. It's not a matter of ignorance. It's just a matter of willful ignoring God's Word. A disobedient love. That's what it is, a disobedient love. Number three, a disloyal love. A disloyal love. Not just a displaced love, a disobedient love, but a disloyal love. He didn't quit loving God. Did you notice that? He didn't quit following the Lord. Look what it says. Let me see if I can find it right here. Verse 6. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not. What's the next word? Say it. He went not fully. You know what that's implying? Partially. How many people today have contented themselves in thinking, well, I'm not all that bad. I'm not all the way out. I have not quit, preacher. I have not quit. But Solomon, my friend, listen, pulled the reins back on his spiritual life and said, whoa, or slow down. You know what he was doing? He was making room for his other things. He started partially following the Lord so he could have room and have some extra, my friend, to give to these other gods and to these other things. That's what's behind every half-hearted life. They want to give to something else. They want to give to something else. A disloyal love. Now, I don't have time to deal with all this. But you ought to do your own study on what he really gave his love to. You ought to look at word Molech up. That god Molech. Do you know what they were guilty of doing? Sacrificing infants. Here's a man named Solomon that was usually giving sacrifices, my friend, to Jehovah. Now is stooped so low spiritually and has allowed his heart to be turned away from what was right, so to the point that he was supporting building a shrine for those that worshiped Molech, knowing there'd be some babies die. You said, "Preacher, I can't believe Solomon would ever do that." You let your heart get turned away, you will be shocked what you end up doing. Molech, the Ammonite god. What about Ashtaroth? That was one of them listed. Verse 5 and verse 33. What about Ashtaroth? The goddess of the Zidonians. The Ashtaroth god was the fertility god. And guess what they was involved in? Guess what went on in the name of their worship? Legalized prostitution. Inside the church. Inside that so-called shrine or temple. And here's Solomon having part in that. Oh, God, help us to know, friend, there's no limits of how far down we'll go when our hearts turned away from God. He did not fully follow the Lord. Let me give you this. You know what basically he had? He had divided loyalty. He was divided in his allegiance. And you know what James 1 deals with that? A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You know what double-minded means? Divided allegiance. Love a little of this and love more of that. Love God some, love the world some. Live for God some, live for self and sin some. Does that not describe most people in church today? They're not interested in wholehearted. They're not interested in serving God, surrendering God, live for God, 100%. Lock, stock, and barrels, we usually say. They're interested in giving God a little, and I'll take a little, give the world some little, and then... Are you listening? All right, listen to this. The last thing I want to look at, I want to talk about the demise. Number five, this will be number five of the main points, the demise of a heart turned away. Chapters 1 through 10, he shows the king rising, or shows the rise of this king, Solomon. But in chapter 11, it shows the demise of King Solomon. Chapter 1 through 10, it shows his wisdom. But chapter 11 shows his foolishness. One fellow I was reading after, he entitled 1 Kings 11, he entitled 1 Kings 11, "The Foolish Wise Man." The devil, listen to this, the devil really believes what I'm about to say. He really does believe the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Love, the devil love to put 1 Kings 11 in your Bible. The devil loved it. Big mark on the scoreboard for the devil. One of the great spiritual giants had failed. What are you talking about? The demise, preacher. Do you notice how the first part of the chapter, I'm about done. You notice how the first part of the chapter starts? It starts with a departure, a turning away. You know how it ends? Solomon died. Departure will end in death. And I made a statement this morning, and I don't know how many got it because I made it toward the end of the service. Once you start loving what you are leaving for, notice I said that right. Once you start loving what you are leaving for, what you're turning away from God for. Because what you're leaving for, you will end up living for. And once you start loving that, it will take a complete miracle of God to turn you around. I don't have the time to deal with it. God stirred up. It's what it says there in verse 14, God stirred up some adversaries against Solomon. Listed three of them. Hadad, verse 14. Reason, R-E-Z-O-N, in verse 23. Did you know those were two that David had defeated? 2 Samuel, I believe it's 2 Samuel 8, records both of those. David, well, Hadad was defeated as David went against him with Joab and won. Risen, David, the Bible said, slew him in verse 24. I'm talking about victories. And God took victories that the past generation had accomplished and stirred that back up again for the next generation to have to fight over. Can I say it? I'm going to say it this way. If you just listen to what I just said, listen to this. You allow your heart to be turned away from God, you will have to fight battles that you should not have to fight because they have already been fought. God stirred up Hadad, reason against Solomon. He still wouldn't turn. God stirred up, in verse 26, Jeroboam, right from inside of his own leadership. God stirred up Jeroboam, and guess what? Still didn't turn him. All these problems, all this pressure, all these adversaries coming against him, still didn't turn him. You know why, Brother Mike? Because the Bible still said that he clave unto these in love. He was fighting for the very thing that was killing him spiritually. Instead of waking up and say, you know what? I've made some stupid, ignorant decisions to go after these other gods and all this stuff. I am sorry and repent, and I'm sorry, Lord. But instead, he just kept going, and he kept going, and he kept going. And I'm going to say this statement right here. You'll be hard-pressed to find where Solomon got right with God before he died. Now, I've read some commentaries that said that according to some wording in Ecclesiastes 12, seemed to indicate that he got right before he died. That he repented, he wrote about all of his mistakes, don't do as I've done. What was chapter 12? Talks about the admonition he gave to young people. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. He seemed to indicate that he got right with the Lord. But did you know Solomon had every opportunity to be in Hebrews chapter 11, but he's not there? Hebrews chapter 11 is the great Hebrews hall of faith. There's people in Hebrews 11 that didn't do near what Solomon done. But Solomon, my friend, gave over and allowed his heart to be turned away, and the result was destruction. This chapter ends, and Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David with his father, and Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. I don't believe that's what God intended. You know what I thought about today, Brother Brian? I wondered really what else God had in mind for Solomon. What else could he have done? Oh, I don't want to die and leave behind an unfinished race, an unfinished life. Well, I hope you've heard the message, because I've tried my best to get God's mind and message for the service. But if it happened to Solomon, it can happen to me. May God add the blessings to the reading and to the preaching of His Word about a heart turned away.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.